I want you to read just a few verses with me in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the chapter and 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 25. I think it's been something almost like 70 years now since the government has set aside a day for Mother's Day. And it's always the second Sunday, isn't it, in May. And that's what this is. So try to keep your minds a little bit upon Mother, if you will. All of us have had one. And the Bible says very definitely that we're to honor our father and our mother all the days of our life. So keep that in mind as we read and as I speak to give a little ministry this morning. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Let us remember that we're standing by and under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a pleasing scene just tucked away here in these two verses that we have read together. A pleasing scene beneath the cross of Christ. The one who is fairer than the children of men does not go out of this world unlamented. There is a little group of mourners. And amid all of the raging, all of the evil, all of the humility, all of the hate and rage that is expressed, there's just a nice little spray of lilies, as it were, to blanket the deathbed of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Or like a rosebud, you know, in a bramble bush that's pretty well hidden. But if you look real good, you'll see it shining through. And how beautiful it is, a rosebud that is just ready to open up and to come forth in full bloom. Shining, showing itself there amid the jaggers and the thorns and the heavy cluster of leaves, profession. How beautiful to see this. This little group of mourners gathered there. And I don't think I would be going too far to say that there were tears in the eyes of many who were gathered there. Well, you know, it's just the same today. There is an infuriated mass that gathers, as it were, around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just the few, as it were, that gather there to pay him his due and his respect. And how precious it was this morning, dear brethren, to step down, as it were, beneath the cross of Christ and to remember the one that's hung there between two trees, and to do it together, and to hear our brethren express their appreciation of the person and the work, the death, the burial, and the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say to you, I feel rather reluctant to bring you down again, because we ended our meeting this morning in the glory. And how precious this is, to lay aside all of our deeds, all of our works of a busy week, and just come together in simplicity and in godly sincerity and sit down in the presence of the Lord. And just let Him love you for 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. And then for you to express yourself, your gratitude, your appreciation of His person and work. This is what we're going to do in the glory, brethren. Don't miss it here. Don't miss it. Oh, get in the game. And how precious it is. What a reviving of the Spirit. What a joy to the soul. And what a glorification. A glorification to the Son of God. He brings us right into the glory, and we worship just as we ended our meeting this morning. Oh, how precious it is to see that there is still a group of people who breathe, as it were, with a holy grief, and who love, and who have patience and gratitude. If you long and seek for these things, you meet with those who gather under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things are products of the cross of Christ. Patience? Oh my. You know, sometimes I even find myself, when I come to a stoplight and the fellow doesn't go ahead right away, I get so impatient. Do you ever, if you blow your horn, what's the matter with that fella? If he drove the car where I did, he wouldn't be fooling around like that. Get going. Well, you know, really, you don't learn patience in the world anywhere. It's full of impatience. But only to watch the patient suffer there at the cross, to see His work being done that pleases God and brings salvation to your soul, and then works patience into your life and gratification that continues on and on, that won't give up, a gratitude that just continues on and on. Isn't that blessed? Well, it's just true today as it was 1900 years ago, and how precious it is to take your stand beneath the cross of Jesus. There'll be peace in the valley. Yes, indeed there will. Peace in the valley. Peace in the home. Peace in the heart. Peace with your fellow men. And above all, peace with God. Do you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? He's made the reconciliation. All you have to do is to just take it in. Or do you remember in your experience when you did? Don't pass it by. Take it in. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, I think we know this little company. They're very few, aren't they? Hey, did you notice that they're mostly women? We did read about Joseph of Arimathea, but outside of Joseph of Arimathea and John here, it seems as though they're all women in this little company. Where? I ask you, where are the strong? Where are those who made their boast? Where are those who said, let us go into Jerusalem and we'll die with him? I'm ready. ready to lay down my life with him.
Where are they? One place I read, the strong and the forward, they forsook him and did what? Come on, they fled. But here are the weak. Don't we read? Now, I know this is a day when the ladies are coming forward quite a bit in the public, but don't we read in the scriptures that they are a weaker vessel? Very definitely Peter speaks of them as such. He honors them. Yes, indeed. Boy, I tell you, he honored Sarah. Sarah called Abram what? Lord. Master. Yes, indeed. And she says to all of the other sisters, do like. He says to all of the other sisters, do likewise with your husbands. I don't know what I would do if my wife would say to me, Lord Charles, I don't know how I would respond. But the thought, the truth back of it all is this. She saw her place and her position in the home. And she honored marriage. And of course, she honored the place and position of the husband as the stronger vessel. But mark you here, it's the weaker vessels that predominate. Do you know why I believe the weaker predominate here and stand their ground? I believe this with all my heart. They must have prayed this little prayer. O Lord, from whence cometh our help, help us, and we shall stand. How often have you and I prayed that prayer when we had to face some issue, something we weren't able to face, some problem, and we just said, O Lord, our sufficiency is in thee. And what came? What did he do with the weak? He gives them strength, doesn't he? Strength is our day. And oh, don't be afraid to take the place of a dear sister. I say this in weakness. Because you have no strength of your own. And they were saying, we're not afraid of the world. We're not fearful of the fury that's being enacted around the cross. Our life is in that man on the central cross. There's our life. There's our strength. There's our desire in that lovely man on the central cross. And I believe with all my heart, if they were nailed to that cross with him, they would have even pushed the dirt of the world out from under their feet. And so it was no place of standing for them. Because mark you, all that is in the world is but the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the god of this world, all against the cross and all against the Christian. And do you believe that you were nailed to the cross? Those of us, who have believed the gospel? Are you conscious of the fact that you have been nailed to the cross? My Bible tells me to reckon it so. And I'm going to just ask you so that I don't misquote any part of it, just to turn to Romans 6. I want you to see your identity. And I believe this little group underneath that cross identified themselves with the man on the central cross. Turn to Romans 6, please. And verse 6. 6:6. Knowing this, what do you know? You, dear Christians, what do you know? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with you, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, isn't this beautiful? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin is no longer king. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law. The strength of sin is the law. And ye are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, I love to quote this verse. And I love to seek to get the sweetness out of it, the good and the gain out of it, to know that sin shall no longer have dominion over me, because I am no longer under the law of God, but under grace. And grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, let's get a hold of that. And I believe with all my heart these dear, weak vessels, as they stood there under the cross, mourning and lamenting, there they were conscious of the fact that when he was crucified, they were crucified too, because he was their life. Then I like to go to Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall we also appear with him in glory. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, the Holy Scripture. There's nothing like them in earth. I was going to say in heaven, but we've got the embodiment of them all in heaven. And we've even got the Scriptures settled forever in heaven. How foolish you are if you're here this morning and saying it's just the writings of men. Well, bless your soul, it's true they're the writings of men, but holy men spake and wrote of God as the Spirit gave them utterance. Such a high premium is put on them that they're settled forever in heaven. Well, there's one woman especially, a mother, under the cross, that is mentioned here. The mother of Jesus. Under the cross of Jesus, or by the cross, his mother. Just look at her for a moment, just a little bit closer. Remove her a little bit from the company and look at her a little bit closer. The Bible speaks of her as the Blessed Virgin. And she's standing by and she's looking on. She bore the one in her own body. She bore that one who was bleeding on the cross. And I can appreciate the sorrow that is permeating her whole being as she's looking there upon him. I go back to the first woman, and I look at Eve, and I see her standing by the grave of her favorite son, Abel. You know, she said that he was a gift of the Lord. And son was the gift of the Lord, but Abel, he was just spoken of as a breath, or he was just as you and I are,
we are no more than a vapor. That's the meaning, I think, of the word Abel. That's all we are, just a vapor. But she certainly loved her son Abel, because he brought the proper sacrifice. And I can see her there standing at his side. He was murdered, and I can see her there filled with a good measure of grief. And, of course, her other son going out in his own way. But then, again, you look at Joseph. Oh, he had Joseph. And you look at his father, Jacob. Joseph was the son whom he loved. And I see him standing with those bloody garments, looking at them. And he starts to lament. And, oh, my son, Joseph, the wild beast has torn him up. And I can see a great measure of grief there, that when I look by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I see Mary standing there, the grief is just as Simeon spoke when he said, a sword shall pierce thine own soul. But I believe in the midst of her grief, the word of God was a great support to Mary. Simeon also said, he shall be for the rise and the falling of many. Tell me this morning, what is it to you? Has he lifted you? Can you say out of the depths to the glory above, I have been lifted in wonderful love. From every fetter my spirit is free, for Jesus has lifted me. He shall be for the rise and the falling of many. Or is he your judge? You see, God has given him life in himself and even to impart life, but he's also made him a judge. And the judge is already appointed and the day is set. And he's already ordained to judge the quick and the dead. And he might be your judge. But oh, the blessedness of him, say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is, present tense, passed from death into life. Oh, let him be for your rising. Let him lift you today. Jesus has lifted me. Well, I believe this sustained her. And then I believe, too, the many times that he spoke of going into Jerusalem and suffering at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes. And then, thinking of the third day that he would rise again, because she pondered his sayings in her heart, I believe these things were a stay to Mary as she was filled with sorrow, grief, and lamentation as she stood under that cross. But a sword was piercing her own soul. But I can almost see the assurance that comes to her as she stands there. Cheer up, Mary! Cheer up, Mary! Your son's not lost. Your son's not lost. No, he's going back to the Father's house. And there'll be peace in the valley when Jesus comes. There'll be peace in the Father's house. I'm going to the Father's house. In the same letter, John writes, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Father, John 17, Father, I will. One of the few times he expressed his will. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Say, I wouldn't take all the riches that could be accumulated in the whole world if I had to give up my little bit of knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. It's the only thing that I know is true in the world today. Only thing that I know is true. And it will tell you about the way, the truth, and the life. No error, it's truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you a slave in this world? Oh my, your master is a cruel one. He'll deceive you. He's full of deception. He's called the God of this world. And sometimes he doesn't come like a roaring lion, you know. He'll come like an angel of light. And he'll cause your heart to be filled with a temporary pleasure for a little season. Then he'll snatch it away from you. Not so. Not so. With the pleasures that this one affords. Their pleasures forevermore. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until that perfect day. Oh, what a picture it is to stand under that cross. And then I could possibly hear, Mary, you know, sometimes it's good to use, I think, sanctified imagination. I call it meditation to a great degree. And I can see Mary as she looks upon the one whom she bore. Oh, if he would just say something more from the cross. He's been so silent. If he'd just say something more. And then his lips, no doubt, begins to move. And what does he say? To the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. He's saying, I'm going to give you to the disciple that I love. I'm going to give you to the one who leaned on my breast. I'm going to give you to John. And then John, in turn, I want you to have the one that is so dear to my heart, my own dear mother. Woman, behold thy son. And I like this. From that hour, John took her where? To his own home. John had a home, didn't he? Jesus didn't have any here. He wandered as a homeless stranger here, but John had a home. And I can see one of those little narrow streets in Jerusalem, can't you? And I can see them walking hand in hand down the street. And John is so delighted that he was given the privilege to take this dear woman to be his mother and to be, have her in the home. Oh, I would just like to have been with him then, wouldn't you? Are you a little envious of the privilege that John had? Are you? Now, I know we think the Catholic people, they say too much about the Blessed Virgin. But I'm going to tell you she's a Blessed Virgin. I'm going to tell you that. And I believe the reason the Lord Jesus said these words to her, Woman, behold thy son. He was seeking to establish in her heart a relationship that was far superior than she had with him on the earth.
He was making steps to supply a relationship that she might see that was far superior even to being with him when he walked here in the flesh. She was going to be related to him like you and I are now. How do we know him? Why, we know him in resurrection life, don't we? Go to the brethren, Mary Magdalene, and tell them that I ascend unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father. And now I don't have to say, our Father which is in heaven, do I? I can say, like the Apostle Paul, I can say, I bow my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's nearer than hands or feet. And I can call him, just as a dear brother John used to hear in this chapel, he used to say, my own dear Father. Not in the sweet by and by, but that dear man who's laying away, that is his body, just a few miles from here, still in the glory, I can hear him say it, my own dear Father. God is my Father. Isn't that a lovely relationship? Do you have it? Oh, get into it now. It's provided for you. And to think that I have his nature, partaker of the divine nature. Now, this is true of every Christian. Every Christian, we're partakers of the divine nature. And we have received promises whereby we may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And another thing I like, I'm so glad it's not individualistic. That's a pretty big word for me, but I'm so glad that there's so much of this, I am an independent testimony. Well, thank God you're that. But oh, to see the company, this little company gathered together. And hold on to those words. Behold thy mother. Make them your very own. Mark chapter 3, the Lord Jesus was gathered with his own. And they were in a circle, by the way. Not in congregational style. This is good, but I like the circle, don't you? They were gathered in a circle. And word came, and the messenger said to him, my mother is standing without. She wants you. You better leave this company and get out there with your mother. And you know what Jesus said? Who is my mother? Who is my mother? And it says his eyes went around the circle, you see? And he says, they that do the will of my Father. The same is my mother, my sister, and my brother. Isn't this precious? Huh? How do you gather? Do you gather with those who do his will? Do you gather with his mother? Or with his mother? They're spoken of, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And how precious it is. To just take those words along home with us. Behold thy mother. Would you say John had a special privilege? He could take her to his own home. Well, if my mother is those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven, I have a special privilege too. And so do you. What is it? I can invite them into my home. Oh, can I invite you into my home? Come to see me. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord's people to gather under your own roof? And isn't it wonderful to prepare a little food or refreshment for them? Huh? What are you doing? Well, you look at them and you say, you're my mother. They're the Lord's people. They do the will of God. And whether they want a little drink. Now, I say, when I say a little drink, I don't mean something that will cause them to get a little giddy and woozy. I just mean give them a little refreshing drink. And when you give one of the Lord's people a little refreshing drink, what does he say about it? It does not go unnoticed. Isn't that lovely? Oh, didn't it thrill your heart this morning to hear the brother say, a brother, some in need had lost their little home. It would only cost $1,200. Only $1,200 to put a roof over their head. Isn't it a precious privilege, brethren, to say, needn't tabulate what you need. If you need some windows and doors, if you need some plywood, if you need some two-by-fours, if you need a little plaster, as you need these things and you put them into your little home, we'll stand by you. We'll try to stand by you. We'll try to be a help to you. Brethren, what is this? My mother, my brother. Oh, I would to God that I loved my mother and my brethren like the Lord Jesus. How precious it would be. There would never be any grumbling amongst us, would there? There would never be any murmuring. We would just be one great, big, happy family. And we are, aren't we? Oh, I know there's a little something said here and a little said there. But oh, my, my, my. Forget it. What I'm doing is for the Lord. What I'm doing is for the Lord. And what I don't do for the Lord, it won't last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Isn't he a good master? You know what he says? I had some pretty hard masters. I worked in a foundry. And if any of you know what that is in industry, it's rough. And I had some rough masters. But when I got under the sway of this master, you know what he told me? He says, you learn of me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My burden is light. And then I have to add with the hymn writer and sing, I found it so, I found it so. Oh my, if we only could take our stand near the cross of Jesus and see what was accomplished there, what was enacted there, I'll say we would be plumb full of joy. And people might think we are just a little bit out of their minds due to the joy that we would express. Due to the fact that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we are the people of the shining face. You get that in the song. And you get it in the New Testament. You're changed into the same glory. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Am I wrong? Am I right? Shall we, Lord, by His Spirit, bless this little meditation to our hearts. For His name's sake, shall we pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word, and we thank Thee that it magnifies Thy Son. And we thank Thee that it gives us a life that is beyond anything natural. It brings us right into the spiritual, where we have those things that we please Thee. Bless all of our hearts, every family represented, and may Thy Word return unto Thee fruitful this morning, for we ask it giving thanks for every phase of this service, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sorry to keep you 5 minutes longer.